Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to memorize them, or at least have them handy. You can Google them if you need to. House rules here at After Hours. If you're new to the show, whether you are listening on our brand new Wichita affiliate, KFH 97.5 or 1240 AM, or you're finding us Sirius XM channel 206. Maybe you're listening from Odyssey.com, our new company name, our parent company name. We've got a brand new website. Maybe it's the podcast that you use, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com, whatever it is. We are just thrilled that you've joined us, but we want you to know a few simple rules to maximize your listening and entertainment experience. And we added one last year. No freaking complaining! Applying to sports, of course. But I can tell you, I feel like that's a pretty smart rule overall as Americans right now. In fact, I've said this recently on the air, but also to family and friends. Every time I catch myself wanting to complain about traffic or about my job. We all have those moments, right? Every time I catch myself wanting to complain about this or that, some element of life that's annoying to me, I remember this time last year, there were no sports and I was working from home, wondering when I'd ever be able to return to the CBS Sports Radio studios. I went 6 weeks without driving on the highway, had to stand in line to get into a grocery store. No, I mean, those are all minor inconveniences, traffic and the commute, yada, yada, yada. I'm very grateful and I want to keep that perspective, even as we're now a year removed from what was a lockdown and a quarantine that gripped the entire nation. Even as we emerge and there's light at the end of the tunnel. And I do believe that with all of my heart. That's not just lip speak. The worst is behind us. I want to remember those days when there was so much uncertainty. We didn't know if sports would return. We didn't know if champions would be crowned. College football would come back. The NFL would get through the entire season. Whether Major League Baseball would play a full campaign or the NBA and the NHL would even start pre-Christmas or pre-New Year's, if at all. The leadership that we've seen in the sports community, both college and pro, has been really incredible. And to that end, actually, well, I'll tell you more about it as it gets closer. Next week, we've snagged an interview with a Power 5 athletic director. Really excited about this. I've been asking him specifically for a couple of weeks to try to get on his schedule because I want to hear about it through the experience of a leader, an AD who's had to make some really tough decisions, who's had to be in these negotiations and boardrooms virtually where they've decided, should we play a season? Should we not play a season? What does the season look like? How does this impact our athletes? How do we implement COVID protocols that are stringent enough to keep our athletes safe, but also balance their mental health and the need for them to play and to have some routine and normalcy in their own lives. So that's coming up next week. An athletic director from a Power 5 school, and you'll know his name. You'll certainly be familiar with his work. He'll join us, and we'll get to ask him all the tough questions about what this last year has been like. And what I have found is whenever I've talked to a coach, whenever I've talked to an athlete, this will be the first AD that I'll talk to ask these questions. They're all very candid and honest and authentic about how difficult this has been. And so I would expect the same from him next week. We'll let you know more as it gets closer. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. I enjoyed my long weekend, shared some pictures of adventures with the fam. Yeah, you know what? Sore muscles, they were totally worth it considering the views along our 7.5 mile hike in the Shawangunk Mountains on Saturday. Also, the pizza that we ate afterwards. We ate pizza guilt-free. Oh, and donuts, too. We did so much walking and hiking this weekend that my brother, sister-in-law, and I not only ate pizza, we also ate donuts, and I did not feel bad about it. Not even remotely. We had pasta. We had cookies. Yeah, we enjoyed the food, but we also enjoyed the exercise and the great outdoors. So you can check out some pictures on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. There's still a lot to get to in this final hour. I know I'm going to retrace my steps a little bit because our audience turns over as we get into this final hour. It's not the same listeners that we had in our first hour, our first 2 hours. We did have some incredible duels on the diamond over the weekend and also some noteworthy performances from aces. Have you noticed? Maybe it's just me. I feel like the pitching, especially some of the aces right now, is can't-miss TV. We're not talking about bats ahead of pitchers, though we have seen some high-scoring games. But the what stands out to me, the highlights that I have really enjoyed and that I've really feel like are ones that I talk about more than others, have been the pitcher's duels and have been the lockdown performances from some of the aces around the majors. So we'll get to that for sure. In the NBA, there's potentially going to be a stoppage of play or at least a few games canceled. Just want to put you on the same path that the NBA, the path of thinking that the NBA is on. Not sure what's going to happen or what verdict will come out of the Derek Chauvin trial in Minneapolis, but the NBA is already bracing if there's a verdict, expecting that there might be a reaction, whether it's a conviction, whether it's an acquittal. I don't know how it could be a complete acquittal, but I'm not involved. It would shock me. I suppose it has happened in the past, though, so you never know how this might play out, right? When it's left to a jury of peers, when it's left to human beings who have different perspectives or different motivations. And so with a potential verdict coming this week, there is potentially going to be another stoppage of play for at least part of the NBA to the point where the league is actually bracing for a reaction, whether it be from players, whether it be from entire organizations. And you can be disgusted with that. You can applaud that. You can have some reaction that's not extreme, that's not one extreme or the other, but it is definitely reality with the NBA, and it may end up being reality with other sports leagues too. Remember the Twins, the Wild, not playing some games that they had scheduled last week in light of what was happening in the Minneapolis and Minnesota area. So we'll see how that plays out on Monday or sometime this week. I don't know that a verdict comes down on Monday, just on every single news station that I listen to, the rotation of news on my way into work last night, it was, hey, this is coming down sometime this week. It's one of the biggest events that you could expect to play out this week in our nation. And this is one of those areas where sports and the greater society definitely do intersect, like it or not. You don't have to like it. It's just a fact. It's a reality. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So over the weekend with actual games in the NBA, Steph Curry on what has been a torrid pace. Now 30-plus points in 10 consecutive games, though the Celtics, in winning their sixth in a row, got the last laugh and got 44 from Jason Tatum to edge the Warriors. The Celtics look a lot better, and basically, Brad Stevens says it's about being healthy. It's about guys consistently in the lineup and not seeing a revolving door of guys in and out. Now, that's something the Nets have had to deal with, and it's been about their health for the most part. Kyrie is in a category all by himself. But when it comes to keeping guys healthy and on the court, man, that's been a major issue to the point where Steve Nash even says, This is nothing new for us. When Kevin Durant leaves 4 minutes into their game on Sunday against Miami because he's got a left thigh contusion, generally a technical way for saying deep bruise, that's something they're no longer freaking out over. It really isn't a major blip on the radar with Brooklyn, and that's unfortunate, but this is now old hat for Steve Nash and for his coaching staff and certainly for the players. We used this number last week. It remains the same even as we start another week on the schedule. Seven games total is all that the big three, quote unquote, in Brooklyn have logged together. So James Harden is still out. Kyrie has returned from his third personal sabbatical. But now KD is out again. And KD, for me, is really the kicker. He's the one that is going to make this team a champion. Yes, James Harden is playing at MVP level. In fact, he'll tell you so himself. And Kyrie is really good when he's out there on the court. Although the stopping and starting, it's going to affect your game at some point. It affects your rhythm. There's no way it can't. Maybe he's here to stay now, but I wouldn't put money on it. KD is really important because of the experience he brings at the highest level of the game, the NBA Finals MVPs, the titles, of course. But he's the glue. He's one of the best players in the league on both ends of the court, not just the offensive end. And there isn't a shot that he can't hit. There isn't a player that he won't battle on defense with his length, with his reach. But he's got to be healthy. And I feel for KD. Also, this gives him way too much time to be talking smack on social media. Way too much time to restart his burner accounts. Maybe he's forgotten his passwords, but you can change those, you know? I feel for KD because I'm sure he's frustrated, angry, wanting to play so badly. And it seems like every time he goes through one of these stretches, it takes far longer than it should. Now, they're going to reevaluate on this Monday morning and figure out if this is a contusion that's going to keep him out for a while. The problem is all of this time missed, it piles up and it affects him on the court. Now, there's still plenty of time for him to get back into a rhythm. And gosh, when he returned, it's not like he needed to be out there logging minutes. But I disagree with the idea that these guys are so good that they don't need to play together to be able to win a 7-game series against a really good team. I disagree that you can just sub any of them into the lineup and they'll be able to take out the 76ers, no problem. I disagree that they can just waltz their way to a championship regardless of who's out there on the court. That might be a popular idea, but it's inaccurate. That's not how life works. It's not how sports work. So they need KD. They need James Harden. Obviously need Kyrie to stick around. LaMarcus Aldridge retiring unexpectedly earlier in the weekend. I guess it was Friday because of a health scare. So, of course, his health away from the game is far more important. Durant certainly wanting, big picture, wanting to be able to play many more years in his career. And so, understandably, they're being more cautious. They want to make sure he's not prone to re-injury, maybe with a sore muscle or a contusion, compromising some of his other muscles. Compensating is a word you hear a lot with athletes who are coming back from injury. But it definitely is a revolving door for the Nets. From one night to the next, you don't necessarily know who you can count on. Now, there is a bonus to that. The positive being, when more guys are called on to step up, more guys are comfortable in those big moments. Right? A Joe Harris, another one who can hit big time shots, maybe wouldn't be getting nearly as many of those shots if Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving were out there on the floor night in and night out. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with KD, but certainly how much of this next month, this kind of last month of the regular season, that we see these guys together. I think it's important. I know there's a debate that rages out there about how important it is that they log games together. They're all friends. Yeah, that's great. But if you run into a team that's got a lot more continuity better communication, more rhythm, they're more comfortable with one another, it can be a major problem. We know the Nets can outscore the majority of teams in the league, but can they play defense in clutch moments? That's very often where the consistency comes into play. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of consistency, the New York Knicks have their longest win streak in 7 years.
6 seconds. Back for Rose. Gets into the lane, kicks the ball on corner three, knocks it down with 2.3 to go. And the game is tied at 103. Reggie Bullock nails it on the beautiful drive and kick from Rose, and a timeout from New Orleans. Quickly slowed it up, finds Rose to Randle, cuts it left side, lob it up, and Noel with the slam. And the Knicks with the first two buckets in overtime, they lead 107-103. Three to shoot for Neely Keena. Baseline drive, kick to Randle, right wing three, beats the 24, saves the day and knocks it down. Randle with 33, Knicks lead by 8 in overtime.
We had a number of people step up, the Nerlens block, Reggie shot, Julius threw out, scoring timely baskets, Kevin Knox going in, doing a good job, Frank doing a good job, quick stepping up late. And that's what you need. You need everyone. And, you know, we didn't play great in the second half, but we found a way to win the game.
Tom Thibodeau said this earlier. Can't imagine there's another guy right now, at least, who's got the same momentum for Coach of the Year. Though you think about what Denver's done, Utah, maybe something else out there that could put up a challenge for Coach Thibodeau. But man alive, the way that he's brought credibility and accountability to the Knicks locker room. And Julius Randle, I mean, playing out of his mind, 33 points, 10 assists, 5 rebounds, 5 steals as the Knicks win their 6th consecutive game, and they do it in overtime on the Knicks radio network. Now, we'll get to Zion a little bit later this hour, but giving us a toothy evaluation of New York and how much he loves playing in New York. Man, I love that young man's smile. So kind of the disparity there as I was talking about the Nets. They lose on a buzzer beater to the Miami Heat. Bam Adebayo stepping up with this huge shot, and they end a 3-game skid. And in the Eastern Conference, you can lose 3 or win 3 and all of a sudden change your position in the standings by 3 spots because of how crowded and tight it is. And while I don't think the Nets are in danger of falling back 5, 6, 7 spots, you just have that disparity there where I do believe that the time on the court together can make a difference. And so the Knicks are figuring it out. They're getting more and more comfortable with the coach and the system, and they've got great leadership and guys like Derrick Rose who came in specifically for this reason, and now they've got 6 wins in a row where the Nets are just, hey, who wants to play tonight? Landry, you want to take the last shot tonight? Okay, you're up. What did Kevin Durant and Kyrie say? They were doing a podcast going back to the hire of Steve Nash, or maybe even right before Steve Nash got hired, and they were giving us some line about how on any given night, any guy can be a coach. Any one of us can step up and coach the team. I mean, besides the ludicrous nature of that statement, it is sort of funny that, and I don't mean funny, haha, but sort of ironic, I guess would be the word, that you've got different guys every single night now where you don't actually know who will be available at the end of the game. So it's not necessarily the coach, but it's about, hey, any given night, we could have this guy on the court or this guy on the court. I mean, I think it's great for guys like Shamit and like Joe Harris to have a little more of the high profile shots and a little more of the time in the fourth quarter when the game is on the line. But that's not how the Nets are going to win a title. Meanwhile, the Knicks are on fire. 855-212-4227. Also on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We had a conversation about Cleveland preparing for the NFL draft, the mother of all NFL offseason events. Want you to hear a little bit about that. And also aces locked in this first month of the baseball season. I'm doing my absolute best. I'm jamming as much as I can into this edition of the show.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Now the wind, now the pitch. Swing and a miss. There it is. Curveball got Castellanos. Bieber strikes out the side and becomes the first pitcher in Major League history to strike out 10 or more in his first four starts of a season. Here it comes. Strike three called. Schrock guessed curveball and took a fastball right down the middle. Bieber finishes the day with 13 strikeouts, tying Nolan Ryan. 48 strikeouts in his first four starts of 2021. Nolan Ryan and Shane Bieber, the most strikeouts ever in the first four games to start a season.
He does a great job competing. He makes his pitches, and him and Babo are always on the same page. It's really fun to sit there and watch, especially now playing center field, getting to see his pitches move and how they're moving. It's impressive. I'm glad I'm not in the box.
Yeah.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The greatest compliment athletes can give. I'm glad I don't have to face him. I'm glad he's on my team. I'm glad he's not on the other sideline. Jordan Lublow raving about what Shane Bieber has done to start the season, not just for the Indians. It's not just a franchise record. We're talking nerd alert, major league style, baby. And by the way, side note, is Tom Hamilton the bomb or what? He is amazing. I love to listen to him call Cleveland games on the radio, but just in general, those huge moments. So I can listen to him describe on a paint drying or read a phone book. But when he gets really excited about a moment like this for Shane, I get excited too. I can feel my heart rate spike. So thank you, Tom Hamilton. Nerd alert! Exactly. Shane Bieber keeping up his record run here with at least 10 strikeouts to start the season in these four games. And I don't know whether or not that would be the case if they had moved the mound back already in the major leagues. Did you guys hear about that? I'm sure you did over the weekend. Yet again, Rob Manfred tinkering and baseball's powers that be tinkering with new gimmicks for Major League Baseball, though right now it's in the minors. That had nothing to do with Shane Bieber. Just I hope they don't move the mound back. And here's Bieber, who's dominating at the current mound position, current mound distance, already with the Cy Young from the 2020 season and now 48 strikeouts to start the year. And I would suggest that anytime you are in the same sentence, the same breath as a Nolan Ryan, well, that's something to put on the resume. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning to you. If you're waking up on a Monday, Tom Hamilton just helped you shake out the cobwebs, shake you out of your stupor. Tom Hamilton, big call or coffee? I love coffee. There's nothing that ever gives me that shot of adrenaline or shot of energy like coffee, but Tom Hamilton would be close. All right, so we get the Cleveland Indians and this great performance from Shane. How about the New York Mets and Marcus Stroman, who is taking advantage of his early season starts?
3-2 comes again. Swinging a ground ball back toward the mound. Stroman behind his back fields, dribbles it to first. It's in time. Fuentes is out as Stroman behind his back made the play. And then as he fell backward, just kind of rolled the ball to first base. Alonso waited for it, dug it out, and he got the out at first just barely in time to beat Fuentes.
Behind the back, you say? A pitcher behind the back. Also a great descriptive play on the Mets radio network. Is that Wayne Randazzo? And so not only does Stroman field it behind the back, but then he has to get it to first base. And so nonchalant about it afterwards. By the way, this is not why he makes the big bucks.
Yeah, that was different because I was kind of falling off to the right and I was kind of backpedaling while trying to catch it behind my back. So it was different, but definitely instinctive and just going off reaction.
So Stroman flashing the leather, so to speak. In his eight innings pitched, he allows just a single run and three hits with five strikeouts. His record is now 3-0. And then, as I mentioned, you compare that to Shane Bieber with 13 strikeouts, also goes eight innings. And it feels like the early season headlines are more about pitching than they are about hitting. Yeah, we've had some guys who've popped off. We've had some higher scoring affairs, but to me, at least, the headlines that are catching my eye, the games that I want to sit down and watch, those are more about pitchers' duels. And we had a bunch of them sprinkled throughout the weekend, and we really had an amazing collection of starts by these aces that are supposed to set the tone for their teams. They're supposed to be either stoppers if their team desperately needs a win, or guys who can continue momentum and give their teams a chance to win, even if there isn't as much offense. Like while we're talking about the Mets, that would be the case for Jacob DeGrom seemingly every time he steps on the mound. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page if you want to talk about early season baseball, basketball. Straight ahead, though, Cleveland is getting all decked out for the NFL draft. You know, cities bid and make their pitch to the NFL years ahead of time for not just Super Bowls, but also for events like this one. And considering that 55 million people watch the NFL draft that was largely concentrated in Roger Goodell's basement last year, you can imagine the anticipation for this draft that's now emerging back into the light, that's going on site, and there will be some fans there. There will be a virtual element, too, for a lot of the prospects and their families, but let's put Roger Goodell back on a stage. Let's go! And there will be a lot of activities there as well. We had a chance to talk to Mary Kay Cabot, our Browns insider, in the second hour of the show, and she gave us a little information about what's happening behind the scenes as Cleveland prepares to welcome the NFL draft. Seriously, 55 million people watching the various stages of the draft last year, and it was Roger Goodell, who some might say was imbibing a little bit too much. Producer Dave, have we ever come to an agreement about whether or not Roger Goodell was tipsy, or I think producer Chris would say he was just flat out drunk? I just feel like there's no way. But what do I know? We were watching him on TV. So I got the nod, the thumbs up. Yeah, I guess it depends on your perspective. Roger Goodell definitely letting his hair down, though. I don't think that happens on stage in Cleveland, but I could be wrong. Maybe it's a new tradition.
The guy is drunk.
No. Although if he's going to get drunk, we definitely need Kevin Harlan to provide the play-by-play. All right. Twitter, Facebook, our phone numbers to get in a couple more of your calls before the top of the hour. It's relative insanity here as we start off a new work week. But
pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
No, don't tell Roger Goodell to do that. None of us needs to see that. And if we didn't see it in his basement last year, we definitely don't need to see it on the shores of Lake Erie. Oh, also, love what Marshawn Lynch is doing right now with his YouTube channel. So we'll dip our toe into the NFL cautiously. Beware of streakers.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
What's happening, man? You got Marshawn Lynch here, man. Better known as the boy, the kid, beast mode, man. It's a pleasure to meet the Dr. Fauci himself. You understand me? What's happening, big dog?
Thank you. It's good to be with you, Marshawn.
No problem. Did you understand anything I just said?
Yeah, I got it. I'm good at that.
All right. All good. It sounds like we on path.
Yep, we're on a path.
Yeah, what's going on, boss man?
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
There is no one on this planet quite like Marshawn Lynch. But I got to give him credit. Props, if you will. I don't really do shout outs, but I suppose this could qualify. The way that he is using his platform, his YouTube channel, and that's where he did the interview with Dr. Anthony Fauci, the way that he has made a concerted effort to share his wisdom and his experience as a former pro athlete, as a Super Bowl champ, as an all-pro running back, multiple teams, different cities. He's tried to make life easier for younger players who come along behind him. Remember the whole deal with taking care of y'all mentals and y'all chicken? And I mean, he really does care about helping younger athletes avoid the pitfalls and the traps of pro football in his own unique way. And now here he is specifically targeting African-American communities as well as Hispanic communities who are hesitant to get the vaccine and that there are numbers, all kinds of numbers out there if you wanted to check that out. I'm not making that up. That is a fact. There are minority communities who are not getting the information the same way and are hesitant because there is a lot of fiction out there with the fact. And so it was really neat to hear Marshawn welcome Dr. Fauci to his YouTube channel to pepper him with questions and to share with him, hey, these are the concerns, not just me personally, my family, our experience, but these are the questions that people I know have, and I want to get the word out. And obviously, his audience on his YouTube channel is so different than, say, a White House briefing or an Anthony Fauci Zoom call with one of the major news networks. The more you know, the better. And this is not my attempt to tell you to get vaccinated or don't, but to be equipped with the knowledge you need to make an informed decision. So every adult is responsible for his own choice and certainly for the choice of his or her family. But you can't make smart decisions if you aren't informed. And Marshawn Lynch knows that. And I think the way that he uses his social media, in this case his YouTube channel, has been brilliant. Knows his audience, understands what they need, and understands how he can serve them. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
The Dr. Fauci himself.
Plus, it's got to be the only time that you've ever, ever heard Dr. Fauci called or addressed Fauci in such a manner. I think it might stick. One more time. It's not my attempt to convince you one way or another. My only point in sharing this is that I think it's really amazing that Dr. Fauci has done multiple social media interviews with various athletes and that he and Marshawn Lynch are probably two of the opposite ends of the spectrum. In terms of forming an odd couple, could you be any stranger or odder? And yet it works because they both have the same goal.
As we get more and more people vaccinated, it's going to be very, very clear that if you want to have the kind of freedom to do some of the things you want to do, like I said, we haven't gotten to that point yet in this country, but a lot of countries are getting to that point where in order to feel safe for yourself and for other people, you got to show that you're vaccinated. The same way, you know, you grew up in Oakland.
Right.
I'll bet
right.
you when you were going to elementary school, you had to get vaccinated with measles, with mumps, rubella. They wouldn't have let you in the class.
Unless
I know that's what happened when I went to elementary school. I had to show that I was vaccinated with all of these vaccines for kids.
It's an interesting conversation. I'd encourage you to check it out if you have questions. And maybe thinking about Marshawn Lynch and the questions he might have is interesting too. I actually found that part to be pretty fascinating because Marshawn has an experience with his loved ones, with people he knows, different from mine, different because of what the football community went through with COVID and their protocols, all of that jazz. It just makes a difference. And his audience is different. It maybe intersects with mine here on the show. Maybe intersects with the audience who would watch a White House briefing, but not the same. And I love that he targets specifically people that he believes need the information that do not have it right now.
Take care of your mentals.
Exactly. Thank you, Marshawn. Dr. Anthony Fauci. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Now, as we get close to the marquee event of the NFL offseason, we got a bunch of things working. Number one, more and more teams are signing on to participate in the boycott of voluntary workouts.
And yeah, what's going on, boss man?
That was started by the Browns and NFLPA president J.C. Treader. And so you've got teams that every day now are releasing statements through the Players Association to say we will not participate in these voluntary workouts. And so we'll see if that ends up encompassing the entire league. It might. Right now, at least the last I heard, it was half of the 32 teams that had publicly agreed to be part of this, kind of letting guys stay at home and not taking part in OTAs for a number of reasons, some of which we talked about with Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer when she joined us earlier in the show. And part of the reason is because J.C. Treader is a Brown, so she's familiar with the way that he's been communicating and also the way the Browns kind of started this whole thing. I'll let you listen to that on the podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com, plus a new attitude for free agents encompassed in one turnaround by Jadeveon Clowney in the span of a year. Remember last year when he wanted nothing to do with the Browns? This year, he's got the one-year, $10 million deal because why? Well, because Cleveland's a winner.
Did you understand anything I just said?
Because the Browns had more wins than his own team last year. Remember, that's what he said when he did his introductory Zoom call. I mean, the Browns had more wins than the Titans did. All right, so now they're a winning team. A lot has changed, and it was great to talk to Mary Kay. Also, weird position for the Browns to be in with the draft, right? Because they don't pick number one or top five or top 10. But most importantly, the draft itself. This huge event is descending on the shores of Lake Erie coming up in the next few days to get ready for that first round, which begins next Thursday. So I had a chance to ask her about the preparations, but also how excited fans are in Cleveland to welcome this huge event to their city.
You know, it really is a very, very exciting time here in Cleveland. I think the idea is that even though it isn't what everybody expected it to be with, you know, hundreds of thousands of people rolling into town, I still think that, you know, it's going to be great. The city is going to look great on TV against the lakefront. Preparations are well underway. It looks terrific so far. And I really do think that it's a great way for the city to try to kind of jumpstart itself and come back out of the pandemic a little bit.
What do we know about what the draft will look like in the setup there in Cleveland?
Well, it's all along the lakefront, and I think it's going to be actually tremendous in terms of just the footprint. They knocked down some enormous warehouses there behind the stadium.
Wow.
Overlooking the lake. And I was down there last week, and it just looked fabulous. Now, of course, we were lucky because that day it was like 73 and sunny. So, you know, it hailed here earlier today, as Kareem Hunt observed in a football game last year, that there were five seasons happened in the midst of one football game. So, so weather is obviously going to be key. But if they are lucky enough to get a day like they had last week when we were all down there kind of looking at the stage being built, that will make all the difference in the world. I think it's going to look fantastic, and I think people will be really surprised if they've never been here before by some of the things that they'll see. It's right in between the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is a fantastic building in and of itself, and then it's right there by First Energy Stadium, which will be a huge part of the weekend. And then the stage is being built right where those warehouses were knocked down. Wow. Along the lakefront. So I think it's going to look like people will be looking at it and saying, is this really Cleveland, Ohio?
That's coming from Mary Kay Cabot, who, of course, makes Cleveland her home. And just the excitement, the anticipation that's emanating from Cleveland, not just about the draft, of course, but also about the Browns, about return to the playoffs, about, and as she labels them, a Super Bowl contender. So check out the rest of the interview. Really good stuff with Mary Kay. We talk about the Trent Richardson cutting. That sounds like a ribbon cutting. We talk about the Trent Richardson waving. Amy, get it together. We talk about how the Browns let Trent Richardson go for a salary cap move, but that he likely could be back on the roster before long. We also talk about the Jadeveon Clowney signing and what that signifies for the Browns, because again, it's a year in which a whole lot changed. Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski, and then a little bit about J.C. Treader and what the Browns might do with their draft pick that comes late first round. So really good stuff with Mary Kay. She's one of our favorites and always very well informed. So check that out on our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. And in my humble opinion, it is a good use of our time as sports radio talk show hosts or sports media outlets to be looking ahead to the draft. Now, I get it. At this point, there's some boredom that's set in. How many mock drafts can you possibly listen to or watch or read about? So I get it. It's like the lead up to the Super Bowl with those 2 weeks, and eventually you just run out of angles. And it's the 1400th story about Tom Brady and what he's eating for lunch. So I get it. It becomes just regurgitation. But I'd rather talk about the draft emerging and landing on site in Cleveland and what it looks like and the NFL experience that will be part of this whole thing next week than about whether or not Trevor Lawrence is going to be a severe and total failure in the NFL because he doesn't have a chip on his shoulder. Producer Dave, be honest. Did the host who filled in for me on Thursday night, Friday morning, waste airtime, precious real estate on After Hours talking about whether or not Trevor Lawrence is motivated enough if he doesn't have a chip on his shoulder?
Not 1 second.
Thank heavens, because that would be an embarrassment and that man would never be allowed on the show again. It's such clickbait, and it's not even that interesting. Not to mention, of all the things you've seen from Trevor Lawrence over the course of his high school, college career, and now how he's handled this opportunity to potentially be the number one pick in the draft. In fact, he's already sending love letters to Jaguars fans on social media. He says, "We look forward to joining your community soon." The man's locked in, and yet we're going to waste time. I can barely get to everything. We're going to waste time on a radio show debating whether or not he needs to have a chip on his shoulder.
Did you understand anything I just said?
I did not actually understand any of that. Thank you. Thank you, Marshawn Lynch, for making my point. All right, that was a quick 4 hours. We are back Monday night. Thanks for joining us After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.